And she said, Grandma, we know that you love God, and we thank God for how he worked and provided for you to put me through college. But Grandmother, there's just something that I need to get you straight on, that whenever you use the singular noun God, you should use the singular verb is, and you should say God is good and not God are good. Grandma, why do you say God are good? She said, Granddaughter, when I look at all the things that God has done for me, is not big enough, and I need a word like are. God are good.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Try Him, You'll Like Him, Psalms 34. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Try Him, You'll Like Him.
That this taste is not godly. That this taste is not something that God would have me to enjoy. So what happens? What influences our taste? Well, one thing that influences our taste is aroma. Aroma. The aroma in the air will influence what you desire to taste. Sometimes I go by a steakhouse where they grill their steaks, and they have an outside vent that comes out. And you'll be smelling that, even in your hood on your back porch, where you go out and start cubing. And you out there cubing, all right, or somebody else is cubing, and you smell the cube, and you're like, man, let me go cube. Why? Because that the aroma affects you. Oh man, those steaks smell good. Oh man, they smell good. Or man, that pie, or you know, those collard greens. Oh man, they smell so good. And what happens? It what you smell begins to affect what you want to eat. It affects your taste. Oh, you ever been sitting back? Oh, I got the taste. I got the taste for so and so. More often than not, when you get the taste for it, it's because you, at some point, you may have smelled it, and now you got the taste for it. Well, let me say this, that if I'm out all night smelling the beer garden, if I'm out all night smelling fornication, ooh. If I'm out all night smelling hanging with the wrong crowd, if I'm out all night smelling, looking at things that I'm not supposed to be looking at, then guess what's going to happen? That's going to affect my taste. That aroma that's coming to my nose, that aroma that of the environment, woo! The aroma of the environment that I'm in is going to affect my taste. And if I'm in environments where the aroma is filled with sin, then guess what my taste is going to be for? You see, if I'm hanging out with people that are doing the wrong things, and they say, well, look, come on, man, this is what we're doing. This is the way that we want to go. This is the way everybody else smells. Then guess what? That's what your taste is going to be for. So the aroma affects your taste. The second thing we see is that acquisition. A person's taste buds can be influenced to acquire a taste for something by eating and drinking it on a regular basis. Now, for those of you who like artificial sweeteners, okay, I'll be honest with you. I'm not down with it. Now, I try to drink my water, all right, and I try to make sure I drink my water. I try to drink things that are healthy. But let me be honest with you. When I want a Mountain Dew, I don't want a Diet Dew. When I want some tea, I don't want artificial sweet. I don't want it. And you know why? Plain and simple. Because I just haven't taken the time and drink enough of it to acquire the taste. Somebody tells me, you know, my wife tells me, because she likes this, she got this new stuff, Equal or something like that. Splenda, there you go. Thank you, thank you. I'm glad that she's not here to see that I messed up on that. Splenda, all right. She likes that, all right. And she tells me, well, you don't know the difference. I tried it. I said, I could tell. So you know what? I'm not willing. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, once again, this is not the Bible or anything, so you don't, I'm not preaching. I don't want somebody to say, well, Pastor Glaze said you shouldn't just drink Splenda. No, I didn't say that. This is all I'm saying. Pastor Glaze, me and me alone, I and I only, me, nobody else, all right? So that's understood, that I'm not down with it. I'm just not down. I don't want the artificial sweetener. You know, just give me the real deal, all right? And I'll drink that, okay? And why is that? Because I haven't taken the time. I'm going to say that. I haven't taken the time to drink it over and over again until I've got used to it. But some people have. And right now, you know what? You know what I hear people say? I can't tell the difference. You know, and why is that? Because you've acquired that taste. And the sad thing is in the world is that when we live in sin so long and we just acquire a taste for sin, that we have no desire for the things of God. We have no desire for righteousness because our taste has been so permeated and we've gotten so used to filling ourselves with the things of the world that the taste for God is no longer there because we've acquired another taste. We've used other types of sweeteners and we've got used to other types of sweeteners and we don't have a taste for God. Oh, my friend, this morning, don't allow sin to take away your taste for God. Man, it grieves my heart. Do you see young folks that's really not interested in the Word of God? That's not interested in prayer. They say the big thing that I hear with a lot of young folks today, and thank God there's some young folks that love the Lord. Now, so I don't want to broad brush and broad paint all the young people. I'm not going to do that because there are some young people that love God, and I take my hat off to them. But I hear from so many young people, oh, that's boring. Oh, that's boring. That's not interesting. But man, they can sit down and they can play a video game hours at end. They can sit down and they can watch movie after movie after movie. What is it? What is the difference? They have allowed their taste buds to become fixed and settled on videos and movies, and there's no taste for God. Breaks my heart, man. Breaks my heart. No taste for God. Man, and all this life that you have, man, you got to have some taste for God in it. You got to have a place to taste God in your life. Don't let all these other things crowd out God. Aroma influences the taste. Acquisition influences the taste. And then annihilation. Well, what is annihilation? Annihilation is when something has been made of no effect, okay? So an individual's taste buds can become annihilated or of no effect if you have a cold, if you have a head cold, or if you have a scar on your tongue. You know, if you drink something hot and it kind of scalded your tongue or scalded your throat, then you know what? You're not going to taste. You're not going to be able to taste the food. You can eat it, but you're not going to be able to taste it like you tasted it when there's not a scar there or you don't have a cold. I know sometimes I feel like I'm just wasting. I don't try to eat anything good when I got a cold because I can't taste it. I don't want to waste my calories now. You can't taste it when you got a cold. And you know, when we've allowed sin to scar our spirits, and we've allowed sin to scar our lives, and we continue on that path, guess what? You can't taste the goodness of the Lord because you're numb to it. You just can't, you know, people that don't have a taste for God, everything that happens in their life, they say everything bad that happens, they say, oh man, I can't believe this is happening. And they complain and they are bitter and they are angry. But you know what? When the taste of God is on your tongue, when the taste of God is on your lips and you go through the difficult times, you can see, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know how he got me through this situation. I don't know how he brought me through, but the Lord is Let me take that back. The Lord are good. The Lord are good. He's brought me through. Well, let me move on. The taste of God's goodness. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Theologians, as I did my research, most theologians say that the goodness of God includes four things. And I'm going to move through these pretty quick. The goodness of God includes four things: God's love, God's benevolence, God's mercy, and God's grace. Those all are expressions of God's goodness. What about God's love? Well, it says here, God's love is his goodness towards humanity, in which he desires and works toward the highest spiritual and moral qualities in their lives. What does that mean? That means that God loves you so much. And as I heard somebody say, God loves you as you are. God loves you as you are. God loves you as you are. But he loves you too much to let you stay as you are. Amen. That's the love of God. That's true. Pastor Glaze. Oh, what a rascal he was. Oh, what a rascal he was. And God loved him in his rascally state. But God loved him too much to let him stay like that. That's the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord says, look, I got something better for you. Look, I got something higher for you. You know, we as parents, all of us as parents, we want our children to have it better than we had it. We want them to do good. You know, we set expectations high for them. And we want them to be the best that they can. And sometimes, I heard the story about a lady who was driving down the street, and as she was driving down the street, this big truck pulled up behind her, and she looked back and she didn't think anything of it, but the truck kept following her. And so she stepped on the gas, and when she stepped on the gas, the truck stepped on the gas. And she started getting a little concerned because she thought this guy was after her. And so she pulled off the freeway, and the truck pulled off the freeway. And she pulled down the street, and the truck was right behind her, following her all the time. And so she looked for a place where there were some people. She pulled into this gas station and ran outside screaming that this truck was following her. Well, what happened, according to the newspaper, is that the truck driver saw and knew that there was somebody in her back seat that she didn't know about, that was a rapist, and that he was trying to catch her to tell her that the rapist was in her car, and she was running from him. You know, so often, God is after us to tell us that he got something good for us. He loves us and he wants the best for us. And what do? We run. We run from him. We try to get away from him. We have nothing to do with his plan. God wants the best for you. God sees that for some of us, there's a rapist in the back seat of our car. And God is trying to get to us to say, look, you're in trouble. Look, I love you. Look, I have something for you better. And we run from God. And God says, man, I love you. And I want the best for you. And I'm disappointed when you don't do the best. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that God wants the best for me. He wants the best for me. That's the goodness of God. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Then the second thing that theologians say are involved in God's goodness is God's benevolence. And that is his acts of goodness toward all creatures to embrace them and secure their welfare. That God does good things in your life. You know, and you know what is typical of this? You know, he woke me up this morning. Amen. He started me on my way. Amen. He put food in my cupboard. Amen. He put clothes in my closet. Amen. He put a car in my garage. Amen. He put gas in my car. Amen. That's the goodness of God. God is just good like that. God is kind and God is good and God provides. Somebody said, man, you know, we ought to praise God. He woke me up this morning. We ought to praise him. He woke me up this morning. And the guy said, God didn't wake me up. The alarm clock woke me up. Well, then you take that alarm clock down to the cemetery and see how many folk get up when the alarm clock goes off. God is good. God is good. God is, he loves us. He's benevolent. Oh, God's mercy. His goodness. And I look, now we need to make a distinction between God's mercy and his grace. There's a difference between God's mercy and God's grace. What is the difference between God's mercy and grace? Well, first of all, God's mercy is his goodness manifested toward those who are in misery or distress. Those who are in trouble. If I'm in trouble, all right, that night when my car ran out of gas in the middle of the night, all right, and I'm sitting out there in the pasture with the cows and the moon, in the middle of nowhere, miles from what I thought civilization. I wasn't getting out of the car. Believe me, I wasn't getting out. I was going to wait till the crack of dawn. Then I was going to get out. So I got stayed in my car, locked the doors, and I was shut down for the night. I didn't need grace. You know what I'm saying? I didn't need grace. I needed mercy. I was in trouble. I was in distress. I got up the next day because I had preached a revival at this church way out in the country. Man, if y'all been in the country down in Virginia, Sister Banks know what I'm talking about. She's been down there. The country churches out in Virginia, way out in the country. And I ran out of gas. I'm not getting out of this car. Next morning, I got up. I got out of my car when it was when the sun came up. And I was walking. Didn't even have a gas can, but I was going to get some gas. I don't know where. I just started walking. Man, I was scared. I ain't going to lie to you. I was scared. And I said, man, you know, it seemed like my wife or somebody would have missed me. You know, somebody would have missed me. Well, come to think about it, my wife did miss me. I didn't come home that night. And so she called down to the church and got in touch with the preacher's wife and asked where I was at. And they said, well, he left here. So the next morning, I'm walking out there on the road, and along come the preacher's wife. And she picked me up, took me to the gas station. You see, when I was, I didn't need grace. I needed mercy. I needed for God to look down on this man in distress. I needed for God to be good to me in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my trouble. I needed the goodness of God. And God sent somebody along to pick me up. That's mercy. What is grace? Grace is God's goodness to people that don't deserve it. That's, you know, see, mercy is to people that are in trouble. Grace are the people that don't deserve it. There was a guy in the army, and he had done some things that were worthy of death. And the general said, you know, he's court-martialed, and he's going to die. And the mother came, and the mother pleaded for the young man, and the mother said, can't you let him go? And the general said, well, justice demands that he die. And the lady said, well, can you give him grace? And the guy said, the general said, well, he don't deserve grace. And the mother said, isn't that what grace is? Something that you don't deserve. See, she understood the meaning of grace. Grace is something that you don't deserve. And I don't know about you, but I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve. See, I don't poke out my chest and say, I got a right to go to heaven. I don't poke out my chest and say, I deserve. God, I demand that you let me into heaven. I realize I don't belong in heaven. And neither any of y'all. But God in his grace looked down and said, look, here goes my son. He died on the cross for your sin. And I'm going to give you grace. You don't deserve it. There's nothing that you have done to deserve this. But I'm just giving it to you. Here goes my grace. And as I conclude this morning, what are the results of tasting God? Well, first of all, you are satisfied. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, you are satisfied. Whenever you taste God, you are satisfied. Second, you desire more. That when you really taste, you know, when you really taste God, you run to the things of God. You don't complain about coming to church. I'm beyond, here I go. I got to go to church again. Man, when you got the taste for God in your mouth, you know, man, I look, it was so good for me Wednesday night to get back with the saints. Man, just to be with the saints in Bible study, I said, y'all don't know how happy I am to be. Just to be here with y'all. Man, I look forward to be. I look forward to being here. Why? Because when you got the taste for God in your mouth, man, you want to be around the things of God. You want to be around the people of God. Now, I know what somebody's saying here today. Yeah, it all depends what people you're talking about. I understand that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. All right. But I'm talking about Pastor Glaze. See, Pastor Glaze don't have a problem with anybody. Yeah, right. I just look forward to being here. This morning, man, I love being here with the saints. Just love, man, love seeing the saints come into the building. Because you got that taste, man. You got that taste. But when you have that taste, you don't be around God's people. You don't want to be around the Bible. You don't be doing things that concern God because you don't have the taste in your mouth. So the results of tasting, you are satisfied, you desire more, and then finally, you tell others. You tell others. Man, when you done tasted something that's good, guess what? You tell. Look what David said. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. They looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not afraid. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth about those who fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see. Man, when you taste something good, people gonna know about the Cheesecake Factory. People gonna know about Nene's. People gonna know about Bees over on Wood Street. Best wings in Pittsburgh. I tell folk, man, you want some wings? You want some good wings? See, I said, no, I can see why you as big as you are, Pastor Glenn. You know, I'm a connoisseur. You know, man, if something is good, you're going to go tell somebody about it. Man, you're going to be running to tell somebody about it when you've tasted. And that's what the psalmist is saying here, that I've tasted something good, and I'm going to let other folks know. And you know what? When was the last time you let somebody know that God was good? When was the last time you let somebody know that God was good, that you tasted God, and you said, oh, the Lord is so good? Now, I did want to conclude my message by finishing off the donut, but they took it. See, now back in the day, I'd have heard the brother over that. but this is Pastor Glaze, who has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Amen. But when was the last time you told somebody that the Lord was good? That you had tasted him and the Lord is good. You've tasted the rest. Now taste the best.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of SMUT, Psalms 39. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, try him, you'll like him. You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Try Him, You'll Like Him. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Try Him, You'll Like Him. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Myrna Patterson, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.